This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here to give us some Rocky insight is Patrick Saunders. He covers the Rockies on a day in, day out basis for the Denver Post. Pat, Jody McDonald here in New York. How you doing, bud?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Very good. John Gray cure all the Rockies' ills last night?
Every single one of them. You know, but seriously, it was a big lift for him. He had not pitched since April 13th, so he's considered their number one. And he came back and pitched very well at a place where the Diamondbacks have mostly won all season long. So it was a big lift for the Rockies. They still have issues, but yeah, it was a good night for the Rockies.
What is the biggest of those issues in your mind?
Couple things. Number one is the youth of mostly their starting rotation. Very good early on, surprised a lot of people, including me. But now the league's starting to catch up to them a little bit. At one point, the Rockies had four rookies in their starting rotation. The league started to make adjustments. The guys are scuffing a little bit now. Now it's their turn to make their own adjustments, and it remains to be seen whether they have the wherewithal to do that. The bullpen was also great early, but it's been a little bit shaky. And the offense, which is usually so dynamic, is kind of underperformed all year. So those are three big things. But I will add this. I think the Rockies have a chance to really figure some things out. And although I don't think they're going to beat the Dodgers for the NL West, I do think they're going to be in the playoff wild card hunt until the very end.
All right, so crystal ball a little for us here. We get to September. They're still in the mix. Yeah, Dodgers have kept their divisional lead, but they're running neck and neck with the Diamondbacks, and they are ahead of everyone else in the wild card race. But if nothing else, you want to finish ahead of the D-backs so you get that game in your house rather than their house. Who are going to be the starting 4/5 in the rotation? Four is key. I know you got to get there, so you need all five. But then if you make the postseason, you could certainly trim that rotation down to four. Who come September and hopefully for the Rockies' sake, October, are going to be the four top starters for Colorado?
Well, at this point, it would be John Gray, who we already talked about. It would be rookie lefty, Kyle Freeland. It would be Tyler Chatwood, the right-hander. He's the veteran of the staff. He pitches tonight against the D-backs and Zach Greinke. So those are your top three. After that, it gets a little bit murky. Chad Bettis, who's been battling testicular cancer, is actually a little bit ahead of schedule. And if he continues to make progress, he could be in the rotation. So there's another guy they have coming back. And then after that, they've got about two or three other guys: Herman Marquez, Tyler Anderson, perhaps Antonio Sensatella, that would kind of round up a rotation. So they have more depth than I think almost they've ever had, quality depth. So in that regard, they're in a better place than the Rockies usually are.
One of the guys you left out, and I'm just questioning it because you left it out, I'm not saying that he has to be in the top four, but he was conspicuous by his absence when you gave us seven to choose from. You didn't put Hoffman in the mix.
Oh, my God, did I forget? You know what? That's my bad. That is completely my bad. It's been a long road trip. I'm a little tired. Hoffman should probably be number two right behind Gray. Good catch.
Okay.
No, Hoffman, the centerpiece of the Troy Tulowitzki trade 2 years ago, had a rough outing last time, but he's been very good. He's got the real stuff, so... Good catch. I'm glad you said that.
No, that's all right. Just because he is, he's been their top prospect for a while now, and he's been up and down and had his fair share of injuries. I just thought maybe there was something that he was doing or wasn't doing that you didn't necessarily like or you didn't think was going to be able to carry all the way till September. And yes, the young starting pitching that had been dominant, more than even just good, dominant for the D-backs, got them to first place and the best record in the league, has leveled off, if not flattened out. But so has the offense over the last couple of weeks. They've had a bunch of 2- and 3-run games, which they have more 2- and 3-run innings for the first 40 or 50 games than they do overall games. What has been the difference with the offense going a little backwards?
You know, this is a trend throughout the Rockies' history where they get out of the gate hot offensively. And then, this is my theory, I think the disparity between the home field at Coors and the approach you can take there as opposed to the approach you can take on the road tends to start getting to these guys a little bit. And that, I think, is what's happened. I think they'll readjust, but we've seen this a lot through the years with the Rockies. I mean, during the 8-game losing streak, I think they hit 202 or something like that. It was terrible. So that's something they're going to, if they really want to be there in the end, that's something they're going to have to learn to do, and that is string together hits, maybe not be such free swingers on the road, because fly balls at Coors Field that might find the gaps or even go out are just outs in a lot of other places in the NL West. It's not an easy thing to try to become kind of a multifaceted offense, but that's what they have to do. And they need two guys to come back and start hitting. One is Carlos Gonzalez, who's on the DL now, but should come back soon on Monday, I think. Cargo is in the worst slump of his career. He's been flat awful, but there's no other way to put it. And Trevor Story, who hit 27 homers in just, I think, 97 games last year, is not the same guy right now. He's striking out too much. He's having difficulty with off-speed stuff, with particularly curveballs. Those two guys were counted on to be really big parts of this offense, and so far they've been a disappointment. So they're going to have to figure something out there.
If Cargo just doesn't have the answer, and you're right, the slump is now going on 3 months. This isn't a couple of weeks. This is since the beginning of the season, and he was worse in June than he was in either April or May, and he wasn't good in either of those 2 months. Between Desmond and Blackman, and Paris had a dynamite season for them, is Cargo got the chance of becoming a part-time player for them?
You know what? It's starting to get that way. And they have a couple of young rookies, too, who are coming up. I mean, Parr's on the DL now, but he'll be back soon. They have Ramel Tapia, a young rookie. Doesn't have much power, but he's fast. He gives them some versatility. He's starting to play better. And they have a young prospect named David Dahl, who's been out the entire season, but at some point after the All-Star game, he's going to be back. So, Cargo's already been dropped in the order from typical cleanup to fifth, even sixth. The Rockies keep saying they expect him to ignite any time. And if that's true, and if he still has that in him, he can carry the team on the back for a solid week. But if he doesn't do it, and the games are important, you know, you might see Cargo turn into a part-time player, which is something nobody around Colorado would have thought when the season began.
How big a difference has Buddy Black made as the manager of this team?
I think it's been big, and I'm not disparaging Walt Weiss by saying that, but Buddy's a perfect fit. He's a former big league pitcher. He's a former big league pitching coach. He managed all those years in San Diego. He's got a great mentality. I love the X's and O's in the chess game. He knows how to play it. But the thing I like most about him is he's a no-excuses guy, particularly with his pitchers, but he's not overly critical or harsh with them. And that's not an easy thing to do, to basically tell guys, you know, this is unacceptable, you're better than this. Yet at the same time, he doesn't seem to bruise a lot of egos. And that's just the personality that Buddy has. It's a very dynamic, very refreshing personality. And I have heard not a single bad word from any of the players about Buddy, even when he's had to juggle playing time. They're fully on board with him. He's been great. And for us in the media, he's about as good as it gets.
Yeah, I'm a big Buddy fan because, yeah, he's as great an interviewer as he is. And, yes, I think he's a dynamite manager. Yeah, they made a couple of big additions. We mentioned Desmond. Holland in the bullpen has just been ungodly good, and what a signing that was. But the biggest difference with Colorado is that, yeah, some of their young pitchers stepped up, and if you don't give their manager, a former pitching coach and a former big league pitcher, credit for that, then you're just missing out on it. All right, does Buddy break it down as far as season goes? Does he look at months? Does he want to get to the All-Star break? Is there anything Colorado has as far as a time frame in place as to where they want to be at different segments of the season coming up here over the next month or so?
No, they don't really go there. You know, you ask those kind of questions, and you get the typical one game at a time cliche.
Yeah.
But truthfully, they've been saying since spring training that they thought they were a viable playoff contender, and even the eight game slump didn't take them off that path. They think they're going to be right there, and they still think they can overcome the Dodgers. I mean, Dodgers have got to come back to earth sometime. I mean, they're playing just out of this world baseball right now. I don't, you know, my personal opinion, I'm not sure the Rockies are good enough to overtake the Dodgers. But, you know, I think the Rockies, if they are certainly past the All-Star break and as they head toward the trade deadline, if they're playing, if they're play 500 baseball from this point on, they're right in the thick of things. And then they have to make some decisions. Are they going to actually give up some prospects, maybe for a strong-armed late-inning reliever to help Greg Holland out? Would they, you know, would they really go for it and try to get a veteran starter? I have my doubts they'd do that, but you never know.
Patrick, great stuff. Appreciate you coming on board. Enjoy these last couple of days before the All-Star break. Have a good 4th of July weekend.
Hey, thanks, man. I love being on with you. Thanks.
My pleasure. No, thank you. Patrick Saunders, Colorado Rocky beat writer for the Denver Post.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.